I hope you came prepared for a word this morning. I am so excited. I sort of cheated because the presentation was sent to me and I looked at it. And then I was like, oh my, this is going to be so awesome this morning. So I am excited about the word this morning because I know when the anointing of the man of God is put in function with the word of God, you guys better hang on. I'm telling you, better hang on. Today we have Pastor Scott and Christy Schatzlein with us, and they're going to be speaking. I just want to tell you a little bit about these two. I'm not going to cry either. I'm trying to hold back tears this morning. They have been such dear friends to Destiny all these years, and we are so very grateful for that. They helped raise our pastors when they were in school in Tuscaloosa, Bama. I go, okay, I was making sure we were all safe. No, I'm sorry. I'm teasing. But they were so good about helping Pastors David and Morgan. And also, I don't know if you all met, before we let them come, I don't know if you all met, but would you guys stand up? These are our added blessings. We got a double blessing. This is Pastor Mike and Rebecca Workman. For those of you who haven't met them yet. All right, thank you. Thank you. And Raven's over here hiding. Raven, this young lady also came from Florida to be here with us as a part of our family. So we, I think it got to the point that the pastor down there said, don't take any more. Don't take any more. And he wasn't taking them. They just felt the Lord calling them here. So forgive me for not already introducing you guys. Back to these awesome folks. Thank y'all. I don't have words. I'm to that. Wow. Just wow. That's all I can say now. God is so awesome, and he's been so faithful. These guys are ministering whole life to the family of God, physically, spiritually, in every way. If any of you are friends with them on Facebook, these two have a phenomenal story about God healing and restoring their bodies and how they did that. So if you are interested in that, hook up. I'm doing a commercial now. I'm sorry. Get with them and after service. But they minister to the whole person. Yes, the whole person. And that's what we've got to do in these days. Because so many people are missing out this part or that part. But I'm going to hush. Would you please welcome Pastor Scott and Christy Schatzlein?
We love you.
Y'all.
You guys, give a hand of appreciation to Sister Mom, Miss Renee. I want to call her Pastor Renee, but she has been an amazing rock, her and her family in Destiny. And so we're so thankful that God has allowed us to be friends and not just in ministry, but in life. And family. We've been a part of Destiny. I mean, we feel like we're at home when we're here, you know, because it's been something that we've been a part of for years. And we're just so thankful. We're so thankful to see how God can move and do something that you don't expect him to do. And when you think, okay, it's over, or this is done. No, God is saying, I'm doing something new. I'm doing a new thing, and there's an excitement in the air, and there's been an excitement not just here, but in our hearts as well, as we've been praying for you guys, praying for the Pastor Workman and Rebecca,
and Rebecca,
Mike and Rebecca, I'm sorry, and Raven. And we're so excited. Wow, excitement of what God is doing. I know it can be nervous. I mean, you can be nervous about, you know, what's new and stepping out in faith about what God is getting ready to do and not kind of knowing where your foot's about to go, but just in faith knowing that he's got you and he's covering you, and he's taking you, he's holding you, he's carrying you. So get ready, Destiny Church, for new things, God things. Yeah. Doesn't mean that the old was bad, but it's time for new. It's time for fresh. It's time for God's presence to just come up in this house and renew. And lots, these chairs are going to all be filled. They're going to all be filled. And in fact, you're going to have to add more chairs. So get ready. Get ready to get your work boots on. Amen. Ladies and men, strap those tool belts on because we got some work to do. And it's exciting. And so we just honor our awesome friends. We love you guys. We're so, so proud to... And I'm taking way too much time, but to go from being my kids' guitar instructor and awesome worship leaders and in the house back years ago, my kids look up to Pastor David and Morgan. We're so proud of you guys. They're just they wanted to be here today. Actually, they send their love. Isaiah especially was like, I want to go, but I asked him to stay home. He's 17 and. To be home with Destiny, our 15-year-old, and Noah's there, but they're staying home because of the weather and everything. So we wanted them, but they wanted to send their love and wanted to be here to welcome you guys too. So we love y'all. Welcome. We look forward to creating relationships with all of you now. And Raven, we love you guys. We love Destiny. We love y'all, and we just can't wait to see what God's got in store for you. Amen.
Thank you, baby. Give me some hugs.
My goodness, she looks, I put her on the spot. She looks good this morning. Anybody loving Jesus this morning? Anybody on the mountain loving Jesus? Come on, come on, come on. Before we get into this, let me, and I'll kind of explode in the next few minutes about some things that are in my heart and a very different type of message. I don't come to preach just a message. I come to speak to you by the Holy Spirit. And I think that's really key right now that we have our ear to, I feel the Holy Ghost. I love it when I feel him. But when we need to have our ear to his heartbeat and just really say, Jesus, what are you saying right now to every person in this place? When transition happens, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to hear the Holy Spirit. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. We need to know, do we keep moving this way, or what adjustment? And, of course, God's going to speak to the set man and woman that those things. But I want to say how proud I am of this house. I am so proud of y'all. Your new pastors bragged on you upstairs when we got here. The first thing out of the mouth was, I just can't tell you how we've been welcomed and how we've been loved. People showing up cleaning our house, cleaning our windows, and they're just blown away. And you know, the bottom line is, when the Holy Spirit is in something, the people are in it. You can read all through the Word of God when there's a transition in the kingdom, even in a king coming in, the people rejoiced. And it doesn't mean the bad was old. You know, to do something new doesn't mean the bad was old. There's a time for Moses. There's a time for Joshua. There's a time for transition. There's a time for move by the Holy Spirit. And that, I just want to brag on y'all for loving and receiving them and walking through the transition of what's about to happen. And I'm telling you, it's about to get really good. Because the Holy Spirit is moving in the earth right now. And he's strategically placing people in the right positions right now, moving people, adjusting people, so that the Holy Spirit can bring revival to this planet. Because if we ever needed the love of God and a move of the Holy Spirit, we need a move of the Holy Spirit like never before. Can I get a great big amen? Amen. Come on, can I get a big amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what's taking place today. Lord, it's not something that we take lightly, and I certainly don't. Standing in this position, I'm so honored on this first Sunday of transition that's happening, Lord, as we pass the torch. Today we fan the flame. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd give us really big ears to hear what you're saying right now. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill this sanctuary right now. Just as the wind is beginning to blow outside in the natural, I hear the sound of wind. The wind is blowing again like never before. The wind is blowing in Rainsville, Fort Payne, around this area, on this mountain. And Father, I thank you that when people begin to cry out and you begin to shift things and move destinies with Pastor Mike and Sherry, and you begin to move things, that Lord, you are so in charge. So Holy Spirit, as simple as this word is today that you've put into my spirit, Lord, make it clear in our hearts today what you're saying. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, and the church said, can we give Jesus one more great big, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Many of you that know me, I come from a very lively church. They talk back to me while I'm preaching, and y'all could scream at me, yell at me, run around the building, whatever you want. You're not going to be out of place. I need you to talk back to me. I work better with folks talking back to me. Come on. So talk back, say amen, because amen is very spiritual. It's not a churchy thing. It shouldn't be a churchy thing. It's an agreement with the word. It's Mary going, so be it unto me according to your word. So when you say amen, it's very spiritual. It's saying, I grab what was just said, and may it go into my belly and into my spirit, and may it come to pass. So I encourage you, you're not out of place to say amen. Come on, amen? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm not going to give some big introduction right now, because I'm going to just share my heart throughout this message, because I don't want it just to be some sermon today. And as I begin to seek the Lord about today and about the passing of the torch, what's taking place, God put something very simple in my heart that I think is so appropriate for today. But I want you to grab it. I want the pastors to grab it. But it's twofold, for them and it's for us. Amen? So 2 Timothy chapter 1, something's happening here, and let's check it out. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. So this is a very heartfelt message here at the beginning of 2 Timothy. Recalling your tears. And we all know who he's talking to, right? Recalling your tears, I long to see you, Paul is saying this, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith. There's so much in this that I won't have time to speak on, but grab every word that Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you through the laying on of my hands. It's very powerful. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, again, thank you for your word. So he was a man who was letting go of his life. He sat in a jail cell. As he wrote this, resembling more of a dungeon than even a cell, the Apostle Paul. It was poorly lit. It was cold and damp. He was chained to the wall and waiting to die. His execution was imminent, and he was lonely. And at that moment, his thoughts began to wander. They centered on a very close friend. His friend had become more like a son to him, really. And they had shared many experiences, both good and bad, together. The last image he had of his friend, as we read, was of him weeping, his son weeping. He was saddened by the Apostle Paul's departure. He didn't want him to leave. So now the picture that we have here in 2 Timothy, he sits in his dungeon in a cell. He too longs to see his son or his friend once more. He sits down and he decides to write this letter. It would be a letter in which he would pour out his heart to his spiritual son and his friend, telling him how much he loved him, encouraging him, building up him up, and informing him that he is now in charge of the work that they had shared together. It's time for transition. It's time for his son, his spiritual son, his friend, to take over the work. And it must not fail what's being handed to him. the Apostle Paul sitting here, writing this to Timothy. As I begin to read this, and God put in my heart for Fan the Flame today, as we start these 3 weeks, I'm telling you, this really began to touch my heart, and I've read this many times as a pastor. It's really an exciting time right now. Can I get an amen? Amen. Transition is now. And I've watched transition my whole life growing up in the church. Seen many transitions, the transition even between my father and I almost 14 years ago. I've seen transitions work, and I've seen them not work. This is an incredible Sunday. Christy and I are very extremely honored to be here. I don't take it lightly. Very honored. You guys are family. We've walked with Pastor Mike and Sherry for many years. We've walked with DCI. We've walked through name changes. We've walked through this. We've walked through that. We've walked through much. Jake, it's so good to see you. Seeing him grow up. Now got that baby girl. And I'm so proud of you being here this morning, by the way. It is an amazing time. It is an exciting time. Today is monumental. Now, you may not feel that way, but today is monumental, even not only in the physical that we're having this service in these next 3 weeks, but there is a shifting and there's a lever being pulled today. I'm telling you, by the Holy Spirit. There is a lever by the Holy Spirit being pulled today. And God is fully behind it, and God is excited behind it, because there's probably much more than we can dream or imagine that's about to happen, not only on this mountain and around this area, but even you and your life. For God is whistling from the north, south, east, and the west, and He is calling people together with like hearts and minds to do something very powerful right now. It's a Macedonian call. Come and help. Come and help. A man was in the street, Acts tells us. Said, come and help. We need this transition. There's a people that are needing a shepherd right now. Come on, somebody. 2 Timothy is so powerful right here. It's a very emotional beginning to a letter of a spiritual father, the Apostle Paul, sitting in a dungeon, knowing that his life is about to end. Nero is killing all the Christians at this point. He would soon kill Paul and Peter. Paul knew this as he sat in this jail. Nero was killing and persecuting all Christians. Paul's life would soon end right after writing this letter. Paul knew that. Paul knew that I've got to get a word to my spiritual son if this thing is going to be passed on, if the torch is going to be passed. You see, what's happening is a changing of the guard. It's a changing of the guard by the Holy Spirit. It's a passing of the torch. I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure all of us have, watched the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Of when the new city that was hosting the Olympics, the lighting of the flame from the torch. And some representative would run in with the torch from the city where the Olympics was 4 years ago. And would run in with the torch and pass the torch off so that the new flame could be lit. What it represented was the past city had fulfilled their responsibility. They had done and they had fulfilled what God wanted them to fulfill. Now it's your turn to host what's about to happen for nations. And as I was praying about this, that's what I was seeing happening starting today. There is a torch being passed. Pastor Mike and Sherry have been amazing. They are extremely dear. Come on, somebody. They are extreme dear friends to Christy and I. I am so proud of them. We began to walk with him several months ago concerning this, and I may share more in the end. And to see that when a person knows, you know what, it's time to pass the torch because the work that I was supposed to do, I've done. It's time to pass. I've seen people hang on to the torch, and the torch was out. They hung on it to so long they were afraid to pass it. Not trusting the Holy Spirit as seasons in our life. I pastor a great church with 3 campuses, but I'm telling you what, that is not my church. It's God's church. And if God were to tell me today to pass the torch, I will do it, especially on Mondays. In certain days. Come on, Pastor Mike. I have no problem because I'm not an owner, I'm a steward. I'm not an owner. I'm a steward of God's people. I don't own God's people. And a lot of pastors, sad to say, they think they do. Or they own the church. But I'm simply the donkey he's riding on. And the waving of the palm branches are not for me, the donkey. It's for Jesus. Too many people are receiving the glory right now. The glory and the waving of Hosanna is for him. We're simply the vessels that he's using. So the passing of the torch is happening in the next 3 weeks. And somebody needs to get excited. Because Pastor Mike and Sherry have fulfilled their responsibility, their duties in the Spirit. But it's a new season. There's a passing of the torch. So Paul is sitting in this this dungeon saying, my season is done. Son, I need you to hear what I'm about to write to you. Paul is saying, I've got to get this letter. They're going to come from my life any minute. I've got to get this letter to my dear son. That's who he called him in verse 2, my dear son, Timothy. I've got to make some things plain to him. You know, a lot of people think that Timothy was young in this. How old are y'all? Did you know that when Paul wrote this letter, Timothy was actually in his mid-30s? When you study it historically, a lot of people think it's some young kid, you know, because despise not your youth and all of that. But he's actually, they say, somewhere between 30 and 35. And as I looked at that, I went, come on, Jesus. You know exactly what you're doing right now. The age that you both are, the even when Jesus stepped into ministry, between 30 and 33, we know he fulfilled that ministry. So Paul writes these first 7 or 8 scriptures that we're going to go through very quickly. But he gets to verse 6. Verse 6 says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Somebody say, fan the flame. He says, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fan into flame the gift that is in your life, Timothy. Paul is making this plain that it's huge, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, that you fan the flame of the gifts that God has inside of you. But how? You have to back up and read the first few scriptures. And a lot of it, we think it's just him being historical, giving it. But no, it's not. There's a lot there by the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Number one, he told Timothy, by drawing from his spiritual heritage. By drawing, now I am all about spiritual heritage. I come from great spiritual heritage. Many of you know my father, who's an incredible man of God, and my mom. They both major part of my life. My father was a drug addict in Detroit. Just a miracle of God. My mom got saved at a Nazarene church singing in Detroit and forever reversed my family. My father's father then got born again and became a pastor. And he was a senior. When my dad was a senior in Bible college, my grandfather was a freshman. And many of you know my brother, Pat, and Karen Chatsline, who are incredibly used, and Nate. And then my kids are experiencing revival. We're literally having revival in our garage a couple, 2 or 3 nights a week right now. I'm talking the Holy Ghost is breaking out. On Friday nights, we'll have 30 to 40 kids in our garage being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit on Friday nights. Not from Daystar. We got to do a kingdom thing. We got to forget about just being about the name of our church, and we got to get kingdom-minded. The moment we get kingdom-minded, God will fill the sanctuary. It's not about DCI. It is about God's kingdom. And when we're kingdom-minded, he will fill this place up, because it's not about making our name great. It's about making his name great in everything that we do. So we need a paradigm shift about kingdom thinking. So spiritual heritage and lineage means a lot to my heart. And so Paul begins to talk about his mother and his grandmother purposely. We read that and go, isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? But no, Paul is reminding him, you come from good stock. You're very blessed, Timothy. You're very blessed because of your mom and dad. And you know this. Y'all two are amazing. Amazing. What an incredible mom and dad you are. I know what it means to come from great spiritual lineage and heritage, like I said, in my father and my mother. And it means a lot to me that I pass that down to my son, because I believe every generation begins to kill certain giants so that their children don't have to kill them. That's my goal, is there's things that I want to, there's Goliaths in the Schatzline family that I want to slay that my sons, my kids will not have to deal with. And that's why it's so important for men, come on somebody, to lead their family. Because we all have to deal with our daddy's devils. And you either allow them spirits to come on you like they did your dad, or you deal with them. So it's important whether you say, well, Pastor, I don't come from great. My family's all messed up. I don't have, you don't even want to know about my clan. We all married to each other. We don't, it's on this mountain. Come on, somebody. You know, and I begin to think about that, because a lot of times we hear a pastor brag on his lineage and his heritage and that kind of thing. But let me tell you something. There's nothing more powerful than being the Esther or the Joseph of your family. There's nothing more powerful than saying it starts with me. There's a new root, a new tree, a new vine in our family, that I'm going to begin things that my dad didn't begin. It's never too late to start. Come on, somebody. To be that in your family and to start something new. It's never too late to wake up to the gospel and go, you know what? I'm going to change my family. I've had people come to me, and we can get weird in church, and I'm just going to say it like it is, and say, I've had people come to me and say, you know, I want this, or I want that, or I want a pastor, can I change my name to Schatzline? And I know their heart, and I don't mean this ugly, but I'm like, no. Redeem your name. Redeem your name of your family. If your family has been known for, redeem your name. Create a new definition of your family's name. Redefine your family. So Paul is telling Timothy to draw from a spiritual heritage. And I encourage every person in this place to draw. We know that a Roman boy was basically taught the law and taught things by his mother growing up till the age of 7. Now, the wild thing is that Timothy's dad was a Gentile. When you study history, he was not a religious man. And because he was not a religious man, grandmama taught Timothy. That's powerful. That's powerful. I thank God for spiritual heritage. Can you say amen? Come on, can you say amen? So draw upon your spiritual heritage. He said in 2 Timothy verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. I love it. That tells us a little bit about Timothy. He has a really awesome heart. Which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. They sound like they're from Alabama. Did y'all notice that? And Paul said, I am persuaded it's in you too. This sincere faith, this heart after God. And Paul is reminding Timothy to fan into flame his gift by drawing from his spiritual heritage. Do you have mothers and fathers in your life? Because he goes on to call, you know, Timothy's dad was not a man of God. This is why God sent him a spiritual dad. And this is why Paul in verse 2 said, Timothy, my dear son. And I know a lot has been said about spiritual mothers and fathers, and a lot of it is not spiritual mothers and fathers in the kingdom of God. I won't tell you what I really feel about that. But just because you've seen the perversion of moms and dads in the kingdom doesn't mean there aren't real moms and dads. And I encourage you to draw from your spiritual heritage. At the same time, I encourage you, no matter what their age is to allow them to be a mother and father in your life. Because he goes on to tell Timothy, despise not how old you are. I have spiritual sons in my life that are 70 years old. I'm honored by that. Because in the kingdom, it is not about your biological age. We all know people that are 60 years old that act like they're 12. Don't say amen to the person. Be careful. No, we do. And I act immature at times. But we need to listen to the Holy Spirit and draw from our spiritual heritage. Number 2, fan into flame your gift by developing your gift. This is real simple, but I hope you're getting it. So draw from spiritual heritage and also develop your gift. In order for Timothy to fan the flame, his gift, he must develop his gift. We know the other translation says stir up. And that also means to develop. Develop your gift. Paul wanted Timothy to intensify with his fire. It was huge. It was huge. Paul's about to die. And I'm sure he's thinking, I know Timothy knows what he's about to do, but does he really understand the level of intensity and the level that's about to come at him? And he better turn the flame up. There's a big difference in being a worship pastor, a children's pastor, and a senior pastor. And he needs to understand what comes with the territory. I'm about to leave. He's about to step into where I've been. It is a whole nother level of warfare. This is why I pray for your pastor, please. I used to think as an associate pastor, man, I could probably do that. Oh, Jesus. I would be the best associate pastor ever right now. To whom I'm telling you, I would be like A plus, the best associate pastor in the world. I've asked God if I could go back and do it because I would just be awesome. I mean, I would so have my pastor's back. I would pray for him and her. I would absolutely defend them. I would serve them. Because now I understand after 13 years of being a senior pastor what comes with the territory. I've had demonic spirits in my bedrooms at night. I've had my children attack. One of my sons with homosexuality, the other one smoking weed. They've now both been set free and are on fire for God. But that's all about understanding warfare and not bowing to Nebuchadnezzar in the spirits of this world. It's all about understanding prayer. And there comes a time where you got to fan the flame and turn it up. You got to turn up the intensity. We were out west this summer for our Schatzline crazy family vacation, and we drove like 30 hours with a car full. Yes, Schatzlines are crazy. We will try anything. So we loaded up in this vehicle. We're driving 30 hours all the way to California. We make a couple stops, but it was one of the best trips ever as we got together. But at the time we're out there, there was a real high risk for fires. And they, you know, the green code meant everything's good. And they would have, I think, a yellow code, which meant, you know, there's a little chance of fires breaking out. Be careful. But then there was a red code. Paul was telling Timothy, get red. I need you to burn. Don't burn halfway right now more than ever before. Your prayer life, your word life more than ever before. People will tell you it's more important to go visiting people in their house. No, it's more important that you pray. That's what the people of God need to help with is serving and going to hospitals. It doesn't mean you don't do that. But if you've ever needed to pray and turn up your and fan the flame and develop the gift inside of you, now's the time. And you need to blow on them. You need to blow on them. You need to blow on the embers of their heart and blow on Pastor Mike and Rebecca and encourage them and the other leaders in this house and the elders and whoever, all the other leaders, and blow and say, God, set them on fire. Because the more they're on fire, the more we'll get on fire. We don't need leaders that are wet. And let me tell you something. After pastoring so many years, it's so easy to let your fire go out. Because there's a lot of churchy stuff that pastors get caught up doing and they forget what they're supposed to be doing. Especially in the South when there's pressure that you should be doing this and you should be doing this. No, go back to Moses. They should be praying. They should be studying the Word of God. They should be loving people all over this mountain. Come on, somebody. Is that too strong? So he tells Timothy, number one, draw from spiritual heritage. Number two, what? Develop your gift. Number three is display his spirit of godliness. I'm almost done, believe it or not. I know my children's ministers that are here with me may pass out. They're used to me going forever. Timothy, display your spirit of godliness. Why is he wanting Timothy to display the spirit of godliness? We know, well, verse 6 and 7, for this reason I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, Timothy, but you have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So we usually we quote verse 7 all by itself when we don't tie it into everything that's being said. Why must he display? He's wanting Timothy to walk in his authority. And that's what I would tell both of you. Walk in your authority. Do not despise. Don't look at your age. You both have been prepared for this moment. You both have sowed in other men's fields. Same for y'all. And there's a harvest waiting for you. So display your godliness. But I love it because Dad, Apostle Paul, is addressing. He knows Timothy well. Timothy is he's a psalmist. Timothy comes across very shy and timid. He's just kind of quiet. Kind of reminds me of somebody. Paul knows Timothy well. I believe Timothy, it doesn't say, was probably a great worshiper. Because he had that heart. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I'm a mama's boy. What'd you say? She said, mm-hmm. No, I am, but let me just throw it at you. So was Jesus. One of the last things he said on the cross was, y'all better take care of my mama. Do y'all remember that, right? That was some of his last words on the cross was, boys, y'all better take care of mama. And I love that. It shows me that that's a good Mother's Day message. Jesus was a mama's boy. That's a great Mother's Day message. That's a good title. Take that thing and run with that thing. Because he was. He was. And I believe Timothy was that way, being raised by mom and grandmother in the things of God. And because of that, I believe every great dad, husband, has to have masculinity, especially in the time that we live in. But it sure doesn't hurt to have a little bit of mama. A man that can carry his wife's purse is a real man. And he's confident in his masculinity. Yet he can carry her purse. Take this for me for a minute. Because I believe that sensitive side of the Holy Spirit needs to be in every man. And I believe Timothy had that heart just like both of y'all. But Paul was saying, I know you well. Do not be fearful. And I would tell both of you, do not fear. I would tell both of y'all the same thing as the Holy Spirit was in my heart. Do not fear what you're doing right now. And can I encourage everybody to embrace this couple? This couple is not some couple that said, oh, I ain't got nothing else to do. No, these are professionals. Maybe I don't know if you know that or not. These are professionals that left it all to move to Rainesville, Alabama. I said to them, culture shock. Hey, come on, Jesus. But you know what? Great is your reward. I don't know how many kids you have, but don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. It's going to be all right. But the Holy Spirit is, I would tell you both, don't be fearful. And I know that you're not, or you wouldn't be here. You're strong. You're very strong. Strong in your mind. But you have a heart for your family. And I would tell you, don't fear at all. Do not fear, for God has given you power, love, and a sound mind. I would tell every person in this place, whatever you're walking through, don't fear. God's got it. I don't know about y'all, but I dealt with a strong spirit of fear for years. Anybody else? My mom actually took 2 Timothy 1:7 and taught it to me as a little boy and made it into a song. And I remember singing at the age of 12. We made up a song concerning God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. This is why it's so important that we have the love of God in us. Because perfect love, 1 John 4:18, casts out all fear. Many in the body of Christ do not have a revelation of God's love. They really don't, because they're full of fear. And because of it, if you're full of fear, you don't have power, love, or self-discipline, or a sound mind. And that's the way I was for years, even in ministry. I was bound with fear. A lot of people thought I was stuck up. A lot of people thought this was wrong with me. But really, they didn't know I was actually afraid of them. This is why I pray that this house is so founded on 1 Corinthians 13. and that the love of God flows out of this place, onto this mountain, down every place, into every crack, every crevice of every home, apartment, and trailer, that God would begin to ooze all over this place, and that because people are looking for the love of God. There's a spirit of fear all over the earth like never before. People are even afraid to go to work or send their kids to work right now. But God hasn't given us fear. God hasn't made you to be timid. I encourage you to be bold as a lion in all that you do, to roar loud. Power, love, and a sound mind. Number one, power. Timothy, again, was from age 30 to 35, somewhere around in there. And Paul was telling Timothy to walk in power. Verse 8, if we have that, says, "So do not be ashamed, Pastor David, Pastor Morgan, of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel." I'm not prophesying something bad. But I'm telling you, when you begin to preach truth, people don't like it. But I will say a lot of people are looking for truth. A lot of people are looking for freedom because truth sets you free. Truth and love now. He didn't say beat my sheep. He said feed them. And it's important that we speak truth and we don't compromise, but we do it with such a shepherd-loving heart. But he gives us the answer by the power of God. This is a spirit-filled church, right? Does anybody still believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I know you may have seen weird stuff growing up, but the baptism is real. I grew up with weird stuff. I grew up with things that was called God and it wasn't God. I grew up where truth was called, opinion was called truth. And that's kind of what's happening in the kingdom right now. There's a real separation of things that we've called truth that are really opinion, religion, that is not truth. And we need to get back to the Word of God. But we need to get back to the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Come on. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you into all truth. Not Facebook. Not all these doctrines that are out there. The Holy Spirit does not want to be locked in the back room at DCI. The Holy Spirit wants to move in these services. Again, just because you've seen strange stuff growing up that wasn't God, don't throw the Holy Spirit out of the church. We cannot become Revelation 3, the Laodicea church, and we start having church, and Jesus saying, "But I'm outside knocking, and y'all just having church without me." Church is not a formula. The Holy Spirit must be involved. And I encourage you. But proof that the Holy Spirit is in somebody, you want to know what proof is? Evidence? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of who? Fruit of the Holy Spirit. What's the dominant fruit? Love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5, by the Holy Spirit. So somebody can say they have the Holy Spirit, but if they're not walking in love, then they have a different spirit. They have a different ghost, not the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit is going to cause you to love people that are unlovable. The Holy Spirit is going to cause you to be patient, even to your spouse at times. Come on. And to love unconditionally. This is what this city needs. And they need the power of the Holy Spirit, not formulated template service. They need the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says in 2 Timothy, God has given not given you a spirit of fear, but of timidity, but of power. The second one is of love. I've already spoken on that. The last one, self-discipline. Also, some translations say a sound mind. And it's important right now for us all to have a sound mind. Again, if you don't have love and you have fear, because wherever fear is, love is absent. Wherever love is, fear is absent. If you have fear, you won't have power, you won't have love, and you won't have a sound mind. This is why we need a revelation of God's love. Or we will not have power. We won't know how to love because we don't love ourselves. And then we won't have right thinking. We won't have a sound mind. So Paul is making it so clear. He's about to be executed. So these scriptures, I mean, when you get somebody's last words, when you're at somebody's deathbed and they're telling you their last words, trust me, they're weighty. Dad is going to tell you something. You need to lean in, and you need to listen to what I'm about to say. He's telling Timothy, don't fear. I would tell you, do not fear, but have power. Somebody say power. Love and a sound mind and self-discipline in your life. I encourage you, take that to the next level. So real quick, how do we fan the flame of our gift? We draw from our spiritual heritage. We develop our gift. And we display a spirit of godliness, not a spirit of fear. You know, the Bible, I love the story of David in the Bible. Israel was needing a transition and a change. And so God began to bring about that change. And the prophet Samuel goes to Uncle Jesse's house from the Dukes of Hazzard and shows up and says, I'm going to anoint the new king. And Jesse lines up all the boys, starting with Eliab, the oldest, all the way down. And Jesse goes from each one and is like, something's wrong. The Bible tells us when you study, Eliab was the best looking and strong and all these things, kind of like Saul and that kind of thing. And you would think he would be the one that God has picked. And the prophet Samuel says, something's wrong. Do you have another son? And Jesse said, I do. I have a boy named David. He's out there. He plays his harp. He's out there playing and singing to the sheep. And Samuel says, you got to understand, God doesn't look the way man does. Man looks on the outward, God looks upon the heart. That's why I'd rather have a pastor that's an okay preacher but has a heart any day over a guy that can preach the wallpaper off the wall but doesn't love people. And honestly, the body of Christ is tired of that anyways. He's tired of preachers that smell like the green room and not like the sheep. He's tired of pastors that aren't cleaning up sheep poop and mess, because that comes with the job. And if you don't want to do that, you don't need to be a pastor. Well, pastor, I just don't like people. You going to be a pastor? That's not going to work. People want to be loved. They want to be told the truth too, despite what the Christian church is saying. People do want to be loved, and they want to be told the truth. I want to feel safe with the pastor. When I get around my pastor, I want to feel safe. I want to feel like he or she's going to tell me the truth. They're not going to beat me up. They're going to love me. They're going to be patient with me. But they're going to tell me the truth and what I need, because God's going to give them spiritual insight. God's going to give them spiritual insight. And other leaders in this house, God's going to begin to bring people in. And so Samuel went and found David. Just like this David and Morgan right here. God has found you. When we began to know that there was a transition with Pastor Mike and Sherry, we met with them and started praying immediately. I felt things in my heart before they even told me. And I said, Jesus, oh boy, what's going on? And God began to put things in my heart and put things in Pastor Mike's heart. And he's like, I just can't. I love everybody. You don't know Pastor Mike. One of the best Bible teachers, by the way, and a man of faith. And he and Sherry both, how. And I say, you know, you got to trust God right now that God's going to speak. And then when they decided to make that the transition was God, which I felt it was too, and the leaders of the house felt that way, we were like, so who is it? Samuel, who is it? God, who is it? And we said, we don't know. Ron and Christy and Ken, we begin to pray and say, Jesus, who is it? You ask for resumes. And now I felt immediately like, no. I felt like the Holy Spirit was going to show us where David is. And then out of the clear blue, because God, you know, God really doesn't know what he's doing. I'm trying to get that through my thick head. Anybody else? He really is God. And if we would just trust him, he will position. Because God is doing this right now. He's moving and he's shifting and he's positioning, even in government, I believe, things right now. Local government, all over. I believe God is positioning things for a move of God. And so finally, we're like, these two right here, and it all came up, and I thought I had a V8. I'm like, come on, what in the world? And the moment this even came into the picture, the Holy Ghost, you know, like Elizabeth, just leaped in my belly and said, this is me, Scott. Nobody would ever expect it, not even them. Surprise, surprise, surprise. God looked and said, who is it? I need a man and woman after my own heart. And he found them. And he brought you back for a great move of God. And he brought you incredible leaders and armor bearers that are pastors themselves that would leave everything and come to Rainsville, Alabama. Be it unto you according to your faith. May you receive a hundredfold blessing for everything that you're doing. Like tremendous, like may God surprise you both beyond your wildest imaginations because of your obedience. Hebrews 11:8, that's exactly what you did. Without troubling your mind or heart, you went. But Abraham didn't realize there was an inheritance waiting. And there's an inheritance for both of you guys. And for every person in this place. So who is ready for this thing? Some of you may be like, whew, we've been through a lot. I don't know. And it's okay to go, I don't know. But I would tell you, as a spiritual man, grab a hold of the Holy Ghost right now. Ask the Spirit of Truth, what's up? That's all you got to do. What's up? What's going on, Jesus? Do not, and I'm going to talk just kind of order right here, do not let the enemy get up in this thing. And I don't ever ignore the elephant in the room, especially apostolically. Do not get jealousy over this couple coming in. I'm just not going to, I'm telling you, I've been in this thing a long time. Do not let, well, who are they coming in? No, embrace them. Embrace yourself. Kiss yourself. I'm beautiful and fearfully, wonderfully made. God has me in position right now because I've seen transitions happen and go, well, what am I now? Who am I? Don't have those toxic thoughts. Pastors, what do you need me to do? That's what's in your heart. I don't know. Let's pray. Okay, let's pray. Let's come out for prayer meeting. Let's seek God. Let's let God position. He may move people around. He may position people. Put yourself in that place of humility of going, God, whatever you want, I'm here. God is getting ready to grow this thing. And it's great to be on the foundational level. Look at this crowd. This is a great crowd. I don't know how many are visiting. I don't know how many are kicking the tires today. But I'm just telling you, this house is about to reach people with the love of God. And God is whistling. And God is whistling to the north, south, east, and the west. And he's drawing people. And there are people that will come back here that have left for whatever reason. It's not for us to figure that out. Because a lot of times people leave and they were meant to leave. They were meant to go for a minute because they needed to get another package somewhere else. And we need to understand kingdom about things like that. But God is drawing people together because he loves this mountain. And because people have prayed. And because that high school is going to see a revival happen inside of it. Because the city and the cities surrounding are about to see a move of God like never before. So he's whistling and he's drawing people. He's drawing younger. He's drawing older. He's drawing people with pink hair. I am loving her hair. That's what I told her. I said, that is off the chain. Do you lead worship at all? Do you sing? Does she sing? Do you sing? A little bit. Do you have a good voice? Does she have a good voice? You need to pray about being on the worship team. We need some purple, pink hair on the platform. I'm telling you, the body of Christ has been so weird about stuff and religious about things. We've got to reach the high school. We've got to reach people. We got to get all nations in this house, red, yellow, black, and white. We've got to let people know this is a safe house for all races of people. And there's no racism in this house. And that we want even interracial couples, blacks and white. Come on, somebody. Latinos. We need some Latino flavor up in here. Come on, somebody. And that cannot be pretended. That has to be genuine. Because when people start walking in here of different races, they will know if they're really loved or if they're tolerated. They will know. They will really know genuine love. So I encourage you. How do we get the love of God? Romans 5:5. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So if we ever needed to pray in the Spirit, woo, it's now. Because I don't know about y'all, I need stuff washed out of me. I need the Holy Spirit really alive in me. Come on, somebody. Because some of us sat at the breakfast table and allowed people to call people names as kids, and black people names and white people names. We need to let the Holy Ghost give us a brainwashing, the water of the Word, and allow the water of the Word just to run through our brain and wash out anything that's not God. So that God can bring a revival here like never before. Come on, can you say amen? Bow your heads with me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on, come on, come on. Father, we thank you for a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, God, that we're to fan in the flame the gift that's in us, oh God. Lord, we thank you for spiritual moms and dads. We thank you for our lineage. We thank you for our heritage. We thank you for developing the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We thank you for having a spirit of godliness and not a spirit of fear. Satan, I bind fear in the name of Jesus, which has even affected the finances in this house. I break fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on this mountain and in this territory. Hang with me. I break poverty. Come on, somebody. I break it off of this mountain in the name of Jesus. We declare for a move of God like we have never seen. Whistle and draw, God, people from the north, south, east, west. Draw people to do the youth and the children and the singles, Lord, and the older people, Lord. Draw people for different areas of ministry and pastoral care. God, draw people by your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for Pastors Mike and Rebecca. Lord, I know that they're going to be set in the place in 3 weeks from now, but Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for both of them. I thank you that they came prepackaged and that the seeds of the kingdom are already in you. And in the right soil here for the right season, and those seeds are going to flourish in both of you guys. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I thank you for your house becoming stronger, your marriage, your business in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for strong spiritual muscles. I cancel every assignment of the enemy that he has planned against you both in the name of Jesus, and I render it void and harmless, ineffective. Father, I thank you for Pastors David and Morgan. And I know they're going to be set in the place, but in the name of Jesus, ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for them fanning the flame, the gift that's in them. Let your gifts flourish in their life. Thank you, you've called them. You picked them. You've assigned them. May Dr. Morgan's practice flourish. Bless them financially because they've made a major step of faith, God. May they reap what they have sown. Thank you that they will not fear. Give them boldness to proclaim your word in such a love, a shepherding love that oozes off of them, not only here, but God, in every store, Walmart, restaurant, in the streets. And Father, I thank you for this house. Come on, lift your hands if you would with me real quick, if you're physically able. And I want you just to receive this. Father, I thank you by the Holy Spirit. No weapon formed against this house shall prosper. Agree with these words. I break every word said against this church. I break every word that's ever been spoken against this church. I send it back to its sender. We pronounce the blessing, your blessing upon this house and here upon your people. Lord, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. In every marriage, every life, God, we blow on the flame, Lord God. Begin to burn inside of us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And thank you that we don't have fear, but we have power, love, and a sound mind right now. That we'll have right thinking. Thank you that our homes are strengthened. Our marriages are strengthened. Thank you today for blessing our kids and even our children's ministry.
Now help me do this. We call in laborers off of this mountain. We call in people to help. We call them in from the north right now. We call in people that's going to be sent here in the next few weeks. We call in people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They will just hear about this house. They will hear something. You'll whistle, God, and you will draw them into this place to help with the vision. Lord, we know that Paul necessarily didn't pray for the lost. He prayed for laborers. Send laborers. Send laborers. Send help. Help, help, help into this house. Now raise up every person in this place to the next level of ministry. Those that have been on the sideline or on the bench, in Jesus' name, call them out, God, right now onto the field. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And the church said, and I bless Raven over here. Somebody help me real quick. For this young woman obeying God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, a handmaiden of the Lord. I thank you, Father. May she reap in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. There's some packages here that you could not get where you were living. And those packages were sitting here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Write that thing down. I'm telling you, there's things that you couldn't get there because they're sitting here. And you will receive those things. And even in a greater capacity, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for that, Father. Somebody give Jesus a great big praise. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Somebody say, fan the flame. Say, pass the torch.